www.channelradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, December the 6th. And I'm going to ask Amanda to speak. Go on, I'm going to do that. Go on, say something, Amanda. Say something.
I had a grape in my mouth.
She had a grape in her mouth, listener.
She didn't catch me when I had the chocolate in my mouth.
Yeah, exactly. I tried to plan that with the chocolate, but I only caught the end of it with a grape. Anyway, I've had loads of tweets. I need to read this tweet as well. I've got a tweet from Telcare, and it's and Telcare are due on the show next week.
Oh, we're going to hear Lisa's story.
And we're going to hear the story about Lisa's epic bike ride from Vietnam to Cambodia for various cancer charities. Wow. And she's saying, am I actually going to get some cheesy tunage as well? You are indeed.
The phone's ringing. It's not me. Answer it then. Answer it.
That's pretty Santa well Claus.
This could be just a sales call, you realise.
Is somebody wanting to clean Marvin?
Hello, you're on the Business Bunker Radio Show.
Hello, this is Denise Wilton.
Never!
It's Neese. Hello, Neese. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I nearly didn't answer the phone. I thought you were ringing up to clean Fiona's oven.
Really?
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah. So how are you, Neese?
I'm very good. I'm enjoying the show.
Are you?
It's lots of laughter.
Yeah, I know. I can't contain them. They're all misbehaving.
I know. And you can tell Mikey's got another follower.
Yay!
Oh, fantastic.
He's doubled his Twitter account. So what are you up to, Neese? You were busy today.
I've been with a client this morning.
Right.
So I've been busy writing social media posts for someone.
Have you?
I have.
Blimey.
Yeah.
So we'll look forward to seeing those later.
Yeah, I think you need to give Mike some tips.
Mentioned someone there, actually.
Oh, really? it's someone that you're writing them for, is it?
Yeah.
You're not going to tell us, are you?
I'm not allowed to say. So I have to stay stum.
Okay.
The reason I phoned up...
Oh, yeah.
You were talking about the Tunnel of Love earlier, weren't you, in Grey Kent?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of something that I meant to ask you.
Oh, go on.
At the time. Hold on.
Remember, this is on the radio. Yeah, go on.
Well, it's down to you to answer. So you put on a post, didn't you, of a picture of you and Amanda?
I did. Well, it was actually Amanda that posted it, yeah.
And it said something about an inappropriate question that you asked her.
Oh, yeah. No. It was very innocent. No. What I said was incredibly innocent. The reaction to what I said was what... tipped it over the edge, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I was just wondering what the question was.
I'm not telling you.
Oh, I'm so going to tell everybody.
I'm quite often accused of double entendreing and stuff like that and being a bit...
Oh, really?
But really, it was so innocent what I said and the reaction was just uncalled for. So I can't possibly tell you.
He's trying to wiggle out of it now. Okay, so he came up to me.
You can't tell people on the radio.
Oh, yes.
Go on.
She's phoned up especially to find out what he said.
It's disgusting.
You're going to have to say.
It's not disgusting at all. It's totally innocent. So Paul said to me, when are you due on?
What's wrong with that?
And, the answer, and of course, I looked at him, and answer, a little shocked.
And the answer to that was December the 6th. But no, oh no, that was too simple.
Yeah. I looked at him shocked. He looked at me shocked and realised what he had said.
Well, you know, the moral of the story is that if he'd kept a schedule as Joe had asked him to do, he'd know exactly when you're due on.
That was all engineered to have a dig at me. That was completely contrived. I've a good mind to cut her off. I've a good mind to abandon that call altogether and get rid of her. Well, Neese, thank you for bringing that to the attention of the world.
My pleasure.
I'm so pleased you did that. So now, I don't know what I am.
Yeah. Funny colour, that's what
yeah,
you are.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. A bright shade of
thank
red.
Thank you very much.
And completely disorganised. But, you know, that's part of my charm.
Mm.
Silence. Thank
you. It's all gone quiet over here.
Yeah. Anything else you want to raise, Niamh, while you're on the phone?
Well, I did enjoy the big busty bunker shout out. That was great.
Oh, that was Amanda.
Thank you, Amanda.
You're welcome.
You know what Amanda's like with her busty shout outs.
Busty bunker.
Yeah. Was
like
it true?
I've dropped in some sort of carry on film or something.
I know.
Like, this is just the
note. It gets worse every week. I don't know. You know.
That was without my involvement. So.
Exactly. When I had the idea of starting a business show, you know, I was thinking professional, you know, and all the rest of it, and it is. It's just become an extension of the Carry On franchise, I'm afraid. Yeah, absolutely.
We're just showing that business is fun.
Something like that.
That's very important.
Who said it had to be serious?
Yeah. Exactly.
So, Niamh, what else are you up to? What are you up to for the rest of the day?
Do you know, frustratingly, I've just uploaded new software for my Samsung keys to connect my laptop to my phone. It's not working. So I'm just putting my hair out trying to...
Does anyone know what she's talking about?
Not
something
a clue.
Technical people.
It's software on the laptop that then recognises your calendar and everything on Outlook and synchronises it to your phone.
You might as well
talk to me. If there's techie people out there that know how to correct it.
You're just talking Klingon now.
Yeah. I know.
Michael knows all about it.
Yeah, Mike's offering to fix it for you, Denise, but I should warn you that Mike has just spent half an hour trying to download the Twitter app.
Well, do you know, I told Mike about 2 weeks ago to download Twitter, so it's taken him over.
Yeah, no, he's been working on it. He's getting there.
Good,
you know, leave the old boy alone.
I had to go and do my due diligence.
Yeah, research. No, I love Mike.
Very seriously, very quickly, we have just mentioned it earlier on, but you are doing something on the day after tomorrow as well, aren't you, on December the 8th?
I am, yes. It's the Dementia Friends Information Session, which is on at the Innovation Centre in Chatham at 12 o'clock.
Yep.
And it's open to anyone that wants to come along. It's only an hour. It gives you lots of information about dementia and what it means for people that have it. It sounds very serious. It's not. It's interactive. You will learn things from it. So if anyone's available on Thursday, all they need to do is if they log on to my Twitter feed, probably the easiest way of doing it, to find details on the session and go through Eventbrite.
Fantastic. And give us a shout for your Twitter feed. Is it hair up or hair down?
Oh, yes.
It's an in-joke.
That's a difficult one, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, I will give you the hair up one. So it's the Mylan Focus, which is MYLAN. Focus, SOCUS.
Okay. So contact Niamh on the Hair Up. That's an in joke. On the Hair Up Twitter account. And you can find out more about the Dementia Workshop at the Innovation Centre in Medway on Thursday, the 8th of December. Niamh, thank you so much for calling. Thank you so much for embarrassing me beyond measure live on the air and ruining my entire career in radio. Thank you so much. I shall bear that in mind when I'm thinking of Christmas presents for you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Denise Wilton there. How could you, Amanda? How could you?
What did I do? I just put on Twitter the inappropriate thing. She's the one that phoned up and, you know, wasn't planned at all. Much.
Do you know what? It's about time we had some decorum on the show.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to our next guest.
Oh, God,
what
you're not going to get any from me.
She's in our team.
There we go. It's all over now, folks. Yeah. They think it's all over. It is now because we've got Deborah Mulvaney. Deborah, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. You must wonder what on earth you've walked into.
Yes. I had no idea it was going to be like this.
Nor did I.
Good afternoon.
I produced this thing. Let me tell you, I blame Bird. She's the executive producer. She's off. She's leaving now.
Well, laughter's good for your health.
Yeah. So, Deborah, you have your own business, obviously, and I want to hear about that. You're here actually as a founding director of Metis Women.
I am.
And obviously we want to hear about that too. Mm-hmm. So why don't you kick off by telling us a bit about Deborah and a bit about Metis Women.
Okay, so I am the owner of a company called Shaping Wellness. So I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner and family health coach, basically.
Right. Okay.
So I help families get a better lifestyle.
Okay, and that's your personal business?
That's my personal business.
And so tell us a bit about that, where do you come from on that? Because I noticed, I can't say it, but I noticed on some of your social media profiles that you're a champion for lymphoedema.
Lymphedemia.
That's the chat.
And lipoedemia.
That's
yeah.
the chat. So tell us a little bit about that.
Because
I'm assuming that's got something to do with where you come from on your business.
Yeah, it's basically the way why I look the way I am. So it's one of the things that I champion because it's an horrendous thing to suffer from.
Right.
And there's a lot of ladies in particularly affects women
yeah.
more than men, unfortunately. Mm. Or fortunately for you, anyway.
fortunately for us, yeah.
Yeah, fortunately for you. And there is a lot of research about it. There's a lot of knowledge about it, but not in the medical profession.
Right, okay.
So we're not very well treated.
Why is that, do you think? I mean, there are quite a few things that the medical profession, you know, like fibromyalgia and things like that, where they go, we're not sure. And I suspect it's because they just don't know.
Well, yeah, with fibromyalgia, there's a lot of research still to be done. Mm. So, but with lymphedemia in particular, they know a lot, most of everything. Mm. But the NHS, it's a bit of a lottery, postcode lottery, I'm afraid.
Are there treatments for it? Or
Yeah. There's no cure.
Right.
But a lot of people are just left to suffer with it.
Get on with it, yeah.
And their condition gets worse and worse. That happened to me until I noticed Dee's listening, actually. She's actually my lymphedemia therapist, comes to me every week and massages my legs.
Right. Okay.
Keeps me.
And who's that? Dee Stringer?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Swelling matters.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so your business is about nutrition, and presumably that's something that you've gained from your condition in terms of how to handle that. Is that
Absolutely
right?
Absolutely not.
No? Okay.
No.
Why don't you tell us about it?
My background is I'm a medical biochemist.
Oh, right. Okay.
So my degree.
Ooh, brainy.
So my degree had nutritional and bioscience added to it, and when I left university I had children, and was not well for a long time.
Right.
But my interest in the nutritional part was sparked by my youngest daughter, actually.
Right.
Who I discovered when she was 18 months old was reacting to certain additives in food, and that's basically where I started.
Okay. So you're looking at the whole allergen type thing?
Yeah. Allergy testing is part of what I do, and that's why I do it.
It's incredible, isn't it, the amount of allergies that we suffer from now. Mm. And funnily enough, it's not something that's ever affected me in the past, but in the last few months I've noticed that I have a permanent cold. Now, you can't have a permanent cold. It's not possible.
No.
So obviously something's affecting me and making my nose run, and I haven't pinned it down yet, but there's something that I'm suddenly allergic to. So it's interesting, and more and more of that. My oldest son suffers absolutely terribly, terribly with hay fever.
All right.
But he gets hay fever at Christmas and stuff like that. It's not,
it's
not hay fever.
No.
It's dust and dust mites and the pollution in the air. And that's the problem, isn't it, with those
kind of problem things. Is we're being bombarded with allergens from all over the place in our food, in our atmosphere, where we are, you know, even from the fibre in the carpet and the paint on the walls. It's horrendous.
Without putting too much of a damper on it, a very good, very dear friend of mine passed away a couple of weeks ago with asbestosis. And he was a carpet fitter.
Yeah.
And he got asbestosis from carpets.
Fibre in carpets.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Sorry to kind of be a bit down about it, but
kill the buzz.
But it is important, and in some cases, as with Alan, it can be fatal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, people think, oh, you know, a bit of dust in a carpet, you know, we'll dust the carpet off. It's not as simple as that. Mm. Okay, so tell us a bit about your business. How long have you been going?
Nearly 13 years.
Blimey, she doesn't look old enough, does she?
No.
A child entrepreneur, eh?
Oh, yeah. God, he's a bit of a flatterer as well.
He's trying to win back some favours.
Yeah. I've got to get back in our good books now. Yeah. 13 years. Okay.
Yeah.
And where are you based?
In Faversham. I have a centre in Faversham.
Right.
So the Centre for Shaping Wellness.
Okay. So. And do you tend to deal with the local clientele?
No, not always. They're at the actual centre, yes. I have people travelling from about 30-mile radius, but I do have international clients as well.
Wow, okay.
So I have a big passion for teaching.
Right.
So, because I think that knowledge arms people.
Absolutely.
And without it, you know, people can try all sorts of things and look at opinion on the Facebook, which drives me insane. With all the crazy schemes that people come up with. Mm. But I think if you educate them with the truthful knowledge, the bare knowledge, then they can arm themselves.
Absolutely. And it can be, certainly for people suffering with different things, and I've had family members that have had this, that not knowing what's causing the problem is as distressing as actually having the problem.
Oh,
once you get a diagnosis, absolutely. Once you get some information, the relief just to know what it is that's causing you problems and know that there may be some way that you can, if not cure it, at least manage it, makes such a huge difference.
Oh, it does. I have personal experience on that. I mean, for years I didn't know that I had lipedemia. I was only diagnosed with that actually 12 months ago.
Really?
And the psychological effect of trying to lose weight and manage your weight and failing completely. And despite knowing exactly what you need to do and, you know, being truthful to that and still failing, it's awful.
Yeah.
So actually knowing, okay, there's a reason why, it does make a massive difference.
It has to make a huge difference, doesn't it? Because otherwise you just blame yourself. You just think, well, I'm not doing this properly.
No, yeah? Exactly.
You know, because everybody else says you can do it. And
From a business point of view, it was horrendous.
Yeah.
My, you know, self-talk was horrendous.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to listen to me? I can't even cure myself.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And it was, it wasn't good.
No, I can understand that. So you're absolutely right. So knowledge is powerful.
Very much so.
And it's psychologically powerful in a number of ways. Even if it doesn't actually cure some issue, just the knowing makes a huge difference. Okay, so Deborah, you're also a founding director of Metis Women.
I am.
So yes, tell us a little bit about what Metis Women is, are, how they are, what they are, who they are, what they do.
So we have found that there's not a lot of knowledge about Metis Women.
Not amongst men, anyway. Yeah. Deborah kindly bought me a Christmas card from Metis Women, which says, "Stay out, boys."
I love it.
It's caricature.
Yeah. It's really good.
And it's a picture of I recognise Amanda on the card, and I recognise Deborah, and I think is that Caroline?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I don't know the other lady, I don't think.
Sandra Claus.
Oh, my word. And there I was going, do you know what? We've got over all this silliness and nonsense. We've got something serious going on here. And at last, we got some professionalism in this show. And bosh, it all goes down the drain.
Yeah, no.
And it had nothing to do with me, actually.
We've been quiet. Fiona's been really quiet over
and
there.
And we haven't even had Fiona on yet. Yeah, we've got this to come still. So, Deborah, tell us about Metis Women.
Well, Metis Women was launched. We've just had our third birthday, which has just been amazing. We launched, obviously 3 years ago.
Well, that's a coincidence.
Yeah, that's a coincidence. Me, Amanda and Caroline, we all network together. So, you know, in the networking scene for our own businesses, we decided 3 years ago that we wanted something more, but we couldn't find it in the local area. A couple of them two had done masterminding before, I hadn't. But we through networking, we recognised that there was a real big gap, that women weren't coming into networking because they were scared of the suits and ties, and they didn't want to open up in front of... Sorry.
Looking
he hasn't got a tie on, he's all right.
No tie.
And you've not got a tie on, so you're okay.
I don't know, so
So, but me, from my own personal journey, I had gained an awful lot from networking. I don't have a problem with talking to men or anything, as you can see. And I'd gained a lot of experience and changes for my own business through teachings in the room, basically. I took advantage of all the one-to-ones and all of that. And we wanted to bring access to that to more women and basically champion them, help them to grow.
That's right. The mics in, I'll tell everyone because everyone's been doing right. it. The mics in here are very sensitive, and if you bang the table, right. it does that in the mics.
I'm holding and the everyone, table.
Yeah. So yeah. sorry about that.
Like that.
That's okay.
Yeah, like that, Amanda. Exactly.
Just demonstrate.
You can knock on that when we've got to stop.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. I don't know where I'm up to now.
Yeah.
No, so we wanted to champion women in business from all walks of life, whether they're coming from a corporate background and wanting to start a business. So Mike, what he was saying was just so spot on. It was unbelievable. Mm. To, you know, a housewife that has got a hobby that she's really good at but has no idea how to bring it to the marketplace. So a massive wide range. And we wanted to bring a learning, collaborative environment to them so they could grow and basically collaborate together.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Collaboration is our big thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
How diverse, sorry, Paul. Can you
have to... No, go.
How diverse is your group? Because I've been to a few,
massive.
Yeah, because I go to, I'm part of Evo Girls mm-hmm. and Women in Business, mm-hmm. and there's quite a few women networks out there, but it's mm-hmm. interesting to see the diversity of the types of business. Mm-hmm. So is yours, you know, one particular area or is it quite diverse?
No, it's very diverse. And we're actually not a networking group. Obviously, networking happens mm. in breaks and we openly encourage it at the beginning of the meeting. But it's more of a, I would say, a conference type setting. It's very structured and it has certain elements that help our members teach other people their skills. And it can be from anything. I mean, we're having a bit of fun at this time of the year with how to put your hair up for parties and what kind of clothes to pick.
But, excuse you know, me.
December. yeah. Last year we had...
How to do what with your hair?
How to put your hair up.
Put your hair up.
Put your hair up. Or put your hair on.
So last year, Deborah Turner, you know Deborah Turner.
I know Deborah, yeah.
She, I think it was last year, it might have been the year before, she taught us how to... tie a dicky bow on our husbands for Christmas parties and so, you know.
Okay, useful.
Have a bit of fun.
Useful. I'm saying nothing.
yeah.
I have a tweet here from Marcus Chrisamu who says, I think you need to move the business bunker to after the watershed.
Might be cool.
That's okay. That's okay, Marcus, because nobody listens to after the watershed anyway, so we're fine.
yeah, but from a more business kind of thing, we do all sorts of things. Social media, how to set budgets, accounting stuff. It has a massive wide range from marketing to, you know, everything you need, basically.
Fantastic. Yeah. So if people want to find out more about Metis Women, how can they do that?
Simply go on our website, www.metiswomen.co.uk. Hey.
Fantastic. Yeah, and easy. If they want to find out more about your business...
Well, look in the profiles. I'm on there.
Okay. Right.
You'll find it there.
Yeah.
And the... In fact, the link is on the Campus This Radio website as well, to both of those. Mm-hmm. So, Deborah, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
And do stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show and for our
next guest. Few minutes? We've still got
Fiona
yet.
I know.
It'll just be a few more. Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to get as near to the end as possible so that I can get straight out of the door. Yeah. Before the flack starts. Yeah.
Is that more fun?
It's been tough on you.
When he tweeted it out, mm-hmm. didn't you? Mm-hmm. Beginning to feel really wanted.
We're going to talk to Fiona right now, but just before we do that, you can do one more. You can do either a tweet or an email.
Well, I'm going to do an email because this actually follows on. Well, it's that email. To be fair, I brought it in myself. I'm hosting. Some people that know me, some people don't know me. I'm an event manager. Sorry, listeners.
It's like a Native American drumming session in here in my headphones.
I can't hear it. It must be just you.
I know, but I can because it's vibrating into my headphones, so I know when everybody's doing it. Sorry, go on.
Anyway, moving on. It goes on very well, actually, after hearing Deborah speaking about the networking. I am hosting a series of events myself next year, and the first event is going to be held on the 16th of February. It's called the Networkers Networking Event. Now, I've been in business now for about 16, 17 months. I've been building my business up. And as Deborah's just rightly said, networking is an amazing source of information, of collaboration and support for people when they're building their businesses. So the event is going to be the Networkers Networking Event. It's hosted in Eastwell Manor. in Ashford, which is a beautiful venue. And it's for three different types of people. It's for people who have just started networking, are unsure of where to go and how to do it effectively. It's for people who network already but are frustrated and it's not working for them, or they don't think it's working for them, which is normally because they're not doing it properly. And it's also for serial networkers like you, Paul, who love networking and they don't want to miss out on a great event.
I'll go to the opening of an envelope.
we males are being invited.
I know.
This is not a women's networking event. This is a networkers' networking event. This is for men. This
so
is
I don't have, I don't have to dust off the pink tutu for this one.
Well, you know, actually, I would love you to, because I'm still dying to see you in that.
I don't think it fits
anymore. You'll be the most photoed man
there, I should imagine. Absolutely.
Very, very quickly, because we haven't got time.
Yes.
I did this. It must have been 3 years ago now. I did this thing with the Minister for State for Culture and Sport, would you believe? Me and Tracy did a two-hour Zumba class with me dressed in a pink tutu, okay, for charity. About a year ago, I did a radio show in New York for businesses. Somebody rang into the show and went, do you often dress in tutus? I'm like, what? And they went, I just googled you and the thing that came up was you dressed in a pink tutu.
Everybody google it now. I want to see it back on Twitter again because I haven't seen this picture yet. I want to see
neither have I. I'm not sure I want to though.
I wouldn't. It's not pleasant. It really isn't pleasant.
Anyway,
your event is great. Yes. I mean, the thought of doing something on networking and educating people on how they should get the best out of it is fantastic.
That's what I thought. I've been out there, I've been networking, I've seen so many people. I've got four amazing speakers. Paul Andrews, he's going to be one of the speakers. I have...
I'm doing a session on how to pick your tutu.
Very important when you're networking, tutu, right. There's going to be four speakers there talking about different aspects of networking. I'm also inviting 10 to 15 different networking groups. I've already invited Metis along. So the groups can be represented so people know what actually is available in Kent for networking. Because sometimes you don't know what's available, you know, where's the best to go to. So people are going to be there representing the groups so they can see what's about. There's going to be lunch. There's going to be networking, basically. There's so many events that go on that networking happens at. But this is just all about networking, helping people to know how to network efficiently and effectively to help build the business. So it's the 16th of February, Eastwell Manor. Follow me on the Twitter at butterflies2019. All the details are coming out soon. The Eventbrite's up. So I look forward to seeing everybody there. It's going to be a great event. And it's going to be supported by the Business Bunker. So
absolutely. And we are looking forward to it enormously. Thank you.
And all that will need to happen is they'll need to act on what you see.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Accountability.
And it's nice you're not doing breakfast. Because I've never eaten so many breakfasts in my life.
I don't do breakfast.
Right. It's now an absolute stonking major pleasure to welcome our next guest onto the show.
It's
for the very first time, it is Fiona.
She's so excited.
She's been so excited about this all week. So we've made her wait right till the end.
I know.
just because we're horrible like that. It's absolutely wonderful to have Fiona Stevens from HR Services and Support on the Business Bunker show. Yes. Fiona, thank you so much for joining us.
Lovely to be here. I can't believe I've sat here all this time and not spoken very much.
No, I know. It's been amazing.
That's you. Is that you speaking not
very much?
We've got it on video and everything. Listen. Why don't you tell us a bit about Fiona? Okay. Because you are, and when Mike was talking, you were kind of nodding along to this. You were in a very important corporate job for a long time.
Very important.
Very special, very important. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure.
And then what inspired you to start your business and when you started your business and what your business is about?
Okay.
If you can remember all that.
My God, about 20 questions.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have been a civil servant. I was a civil servant for a long time, public sector. I joined the civil service in 1987.
She doesn't look old enough, does she?
Oh, I know. God, it feels like it, though, sometimes. It feels like it now.
Right.
And I applied in Scotland, and my first posting was Folkestone Harbour. Somebody had a real sense of humour.
They liked you a lot then. Yes. Yeah. Go south.
Go south and don't come back.
Yeah.
So I worked as a...
That was almost France.
They almost
deported you.
They did, yeah, they did. And I started off as a frontline customs officer, which was an absolute hoot. It was just such a laugh.
Rubber gloves and everything.
Well, hey, Yeah, I could write a book, but not at the moment. Moving swiftly on.
Watershed.
I didn't notice. If I'd have known this, we could have got this on a lot earlier. There's umpteen ways of doing material out of that.
Indeed there is. Maybe next time, Paul.
Okay,
next time.
You're coming back.
Oh, thank you. When Sea Link pulled out the harbour, they needed to decide what to do with everybody. So they kind of pushed us all about. So I ended up going up to London and doing a little bit there. And then when the Channel Tunnel opened, I was due to go down the tunnel. But they really were going to deport me.
Go down the tunnel?
Stick me right down the tunnel.
So she was going to do selfies in the tunnel as well.
Wasn't the tunnel I loved, though. But I went indoors, as they say. So I came out of uniform and I went into a thing called the Personnel Projects team. Right. And that's when the government were really pushing investors and people. So I got involved in training and...
Sorry.
Every time anything happens, I don't know why the mics are so sensitive today, but even if you put a cup down, it goes bang through the headphones. I don't know why.
Do you know what else? I drum my feet, so maybe I'm drumming my feet.
It's you.
It's me.
Sorry, anyway, we interrupted.
So where was I? Investors and people.
You were going inside.
I was going indoors.
Oh, indoors.
Sorry. I then decided I was going to do, I wanted to go back to college and do something, so I ended up being qualified to CIPD, Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development, which was great. And then I got promoted a few times and ended up in London. And since then, I worked as an internal consultant. I worked as an HR business partner. Mm-mm. I worked as a business change manager for rolling out IT systems to do supporting HR. So I've done all sorts of stuff. And then I decided I wanted to do something else academically, so I went to the Open University, and I have an MBA.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. And everybody at home that's listening to this and all my friends will just laugh, because normally I can get that in the first 5 minutes of meeting somebody.
Hello, I'm Fiona. I've got an MBA.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. So then after that...
Hold on. You got an MBA from the Open University.
I have, yes.
Did you enjoy that?
I absolutely loved it. It was the most fantastic thing I have ever done. It completely changed the way that I thought about stuff.
Right, okay.
And I met some of the most fantastic people. It was incredibly hard work. Mm. I was working full time. I was commuting up to London. And my son, when I started, it was about 4. So... what was I doing? It was mad.
Right.
But it was great. Okay. Really, really enjoyed it.
I actually lecture at the LSE.
Why am I not
Birkbeck
surprised?
On the MBA? On the MBA program, yeah.
What do you lecture them?
Entrepreneurship. Yes. I do a session every year for each MBA program at Birkbeck College at the LSE on entrepreneurship. It's really good fun.
I must admit, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed it. So I did that. And then I came out of the civil service and joined the NHS, and I worked for the hospital down here, East Kent.
Hold on, you came out of the civil service and joined the NHS?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really a big
fire
move, is
plan.
It?
It was kind of a promotion for me, and it meant that I didn't have to, because although I was working in commuting up to London, I had a national portfolio, so I spent a lot of time away. I spent a lot of time in hotels. I spent a lot of time in trains. Mm. And it was quite nice to think that I could actually work in Canterbury, which was about 7 miles from where I lived.
Right, okay, that's
so,
handy.
So it was kind of a good move for me.
Yeah.
So I became the deputy head of HR for the hospital, which was quite interesting. And then I stopped working there.
Quite interesting.
It was quite interesting, yeah. And then I stopped working there last November when they restructured. And they made me redundant.
Foolish people.
Can you believe that?
Foolish people.
Is that because they couldn't understand you?
There's tons and tons of Scottish.
He's allowed to say that. He's allowed to say that. He's Scottish. Yeah. So he's allowed to say
and
it.
And also, he's too far away. Sorry, that was my Google. I'm trying not to put it down so it squeaks. So that's kind of a little bit about me.
Right, okay.
So I do stuff.
You've got a gooner from the NHS.
Oh, thanks. Just as well, I'm not sensitive about it, am I?
Yeah, exactly.
I've never heard that saying before.
What, a gooner?
Yeah.
I think it's important, things like that, because quite often those kind of things can happen to us, and you can react in one of two ways. You can implode in yourself and go, oh my God, you know, I'm worthless, I'm more, they've got rid of me. If I was brilliant, they wouldn't get rid of me and all the rest of it. Or you can go, do you know what, this is an opportunity. I've been presented something here that I need to, you know, I've been given a lemon, as the old aphorism goes, and I need to make lemonade. And that's exactly what you've done. And I think that's really brilliant because it's inspiring. And
Thank you. I don't feel particularly inspiring, but thank you.
No, it is. It is inspiring because, you know, it is one of the, it's one of my pet things about the culture in this country is we just aren't very good at failure. And you need to be good at failure. Failure is really important. Failure is how things work, you know.
I hadn't really considered I'd failed until
But you hadn't, and I'm not saying you had failed. But you know what I mean, you know.
I do know exactly what you
mean. A lot of people think they have failed. That's exactly my point. A lot of people, because they're made redundant or they lose their job, they think they failed. They don't think they can do anything else, you know. Especially if you work in an industry, which you didn't, but if you work in an industry that closes down, everybody goes, that's it, my life's over. I've worked in X, Y, Z for 20 years, it's gone, there's nothing else I can do, and it's just not true.
No, it's not true, and so I took some time out and kind of just reflected and decided what I was going to do, and of course you reach a point where you think, I either go back into the corporate world, or I'll set up on my own. Now, I had been asked throughout my career at points by some people if I wanted to go and join them,
right.
And it just wasn't right, but it just feels right, so, right. And I've got a lot of stuff in my head, and I've got a lot of experience. I've got a lot of scars. I've made a lot of mistakes.
Absolutely.
And
you failed a lot.
I have failed. Okay.
That's good. That's good.
We would have used a more delicate word.
No. But I'm on a mission to desensitize the word failure.
I don't think that's fair. Failure is not the word. You were rejected. Oh.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
Hey, my self-esteem is rocketing right now.
Yeah, work with us on this.
We're outnumbered.
So my company is now called HR Services and Support.
Yeah.
And I want to work with companies to make sure they've got all the essential stuff in place. Now, I know you love HR, Paul. You are the HR king, are you not?
Yeah.
And he goes on and on about process, and there's a little bit of process involved, and there's a little bit about legislation, but that's a framework within which you operate. What HR is a fundamental key enabler for getting your business to where you need to be. So basically, what are your objectives, what's your outcomes, and then how can we look at how you do your people stuff in the widest possible sense to make sure that it's supporting you now and driving your business forward. And that's kind of what I do.
Absolutely. No, I don't have a downer on HR.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. I've had some interesting things with HR, actually.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is you talked about KISS. You're talking about keeping it simple.
I really wondered what he was going to say then.
So did I. I thought he was going to leap across the table there.
We weren't going to have a KISS, no. But, I mean, you are talking about KISS, and that I think is so important in business these days. We keep on talking all this consultative chat, which, frankly, nobody understands. So I think you're
I can do
right.
consultative chat really that nobody understands with the best of them. It's about... making sure everything's aligned.
But all of us have repeatedly said today, in amongst all the other nonsense that we've been doing, it's about people, And HR, as it is called now, personnel, as it used to be called in my day.
Do you know, when I started, it was staff section?
Yeah.
Shows you how old that.
Staff section.
Oh, my God. But it's about making sure everything's aligned, and it's about making sure that you are bringing in the right people, and you're bringing them in the right way. So it's about a cultural fit, and it's about looking at the skill set that you need. You'll like this, Paul, because this is your come the revolution stuff. But it's about looking at the skill set. What skills does your business need now?
Yeah.
What do they need in the future? Do they exist? And if not, what are you doing to create them?
Yeah,
absolutely. And when I was at the hospital, I was really fortunate in that we managed to set up a number of apprenticeship schemes. Some of them we had to create from scratch because they just didn't exist. So higher level ones in the labs and that sort of stuff,
as well as the more traditional ones. Mm. And it really helped us with our skill shortages.
Absolutely.
So people need to, and it's actually not as difficult as it sounds. You
Absolutely.
Can create it.
And being serious, unlike yeah. me for a minute, because you've hit on one of my big things.
Indeed.
It's one of the things that drives me nuts is that people don't understand that the world evolves, it changes. Mm. And there are far too many people that live in the past. That, you know, I hear all kinds of absolute nonsense. I waste so much of my time on social media in spats with people.
I know.
You've noticed some of them. In which they tell you the most stupid things, you know, like we don't make anything anymore in the UK, which is utter nonsense. It's just that we don't make it in the same way that we
absolutely.
Used to do it.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'm really keen on is the fact that you can now invent your own job.
Yeah, absolutely. You
yeah.
can.
Mm-hmm. Because life is changing so much and there are so many things you can do. And more of us work in a portfolio fashion where we do more than one thing. Yeah. You know, Deborah, you have two things. You have your own business. You're heavily involved with Metis Women. Amanda, you're all over the place.
All over the place. I've got a clue what I'm doing.
All of us in this room do more than one thing in our work. Yeah. yeah? And that is the norm. And so I think you're absolutely right. Helping to fundamentally understand talent is a core thing.
Yeah,
and for many, many years, we got very confused between skills and talents.
Yeah.
Yeah. I.e. technical things that we know. Mm. Like when I was younger, I worked in technology and I was an expert in a thing called SNA, Systems Network Architecture. And for many years, I could name my own salary. I called mine Fred. The old ones are the best. Because I had a set of skills, i.e. knowledge.
Yeah.
But that soon became redundant
Indeed.
When it was bypassed by other technology. And we've spent far too long looking at skills rather than transferable talents.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you get the right person who fits in with the culture of the organisation, you can acquire knowledge and you can learn skills.
Yeah.
But if the person isn't the right fit for your organisation. Right. And I tell you who does this really well, actually. I was talking to them, is Sleeping Giant Media.
Yeah, yeah.
They do this really, really well in terms of even how they recruit the people.
Yeah.
They bring them in, they have a recruitment day, and they get them to do stuff in their ball pit and all that sort of stuff. And that's fantastic. And that's absolutely what I'm all about. Who says you have to interview before you just to bring somebody in? You can do a whole range of different stuff to find out if it's a good fit.
Oh, don't even get me started on
that. Okay, well, I'm sorry. Okay, well, moving on then.
Swiftly on.
No, but it's also about succession planning.
Absolutely. But it's absolutely true. You know, we do things by rote.
Mm.
You know, on Jobs in Kent, which you know I own, people write job adverts. And you look at them and you think, oh please.
Yeah.
You've just copied the same old thing over and over and over again. And this is a public sector special, which is the closing date of the application. And you go, really? Really? You think anyone's going to apply for this job that you need to put a closing date on it? No chance.
Indeed.
Now, I know there are reasons for doing that, but so many other people copy those adverts without even knowing why they've put it. Yeah.
And it's talking about sort of copying things as well. So when you go into a business and have, because we're talking about recruitment and talent and stuff, but there's a whole range of other stuff. So when you actually go in and have a look, and you need to make sure that you've got your basics in place. So your job descriptions, your recruitment, your policies, your procedures, and maybe an employee handbook. And the internet's fabulous, but people are going on and downloading policies without really understanding what they mean.
Absolutely.
And I was working with somebody, and I said, oh, just let me see what you've got. So they gave me all the stuff. And I read their equality and diversity policy. And I didn't understand it. I genuinely didn't have a clue what it was talking about. Mm. So I said, you need to explain this to me. What is it? And they said, we don't really understand it either. And yet this was what they were given. Because somebody told them they had to have one.
Yeah.
They went online. They downloaded it.
Yeah.
So basically, you need to make sure that's all in place before you can go on and do all the other stuff. The strategic organisational development stuff, which is what I love.
That just beat me, because I was about to just say, what is it you love most about your job? And you just said, can you say it again?
I know.
Where is it?
She likes OD.
OD?
Yeah.
Strategic Organisational Development. It's all
sod.
The non-profit.
Or sod.
Ah.
Sod off.
Thanks, Paul. I'll need to get that as my strap line now.
Yeah.
That's a really good strap line.
Yeah.
It's excellent, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, go on.
I thought you were winding me down there.
We are rapidly approaching the end of the show, but I don't want to stop at the moment because it's fascinating and it's great to talk to you. I'm gonna have to cut you off in a minute, but so very briefly on strategic organizational development.
Thank you very much.
Give us an overview of what that means to you.
What it means to me is it's about making sure that the people within your organization understand what they're there to do, that you give them feedback so that they know that they're doing it or not, and that all your systems and processes within your organization, not just your people ones, but generally are all aligned and are driving your business forward to deliver what it is you want them to do. Because if they don't know, because you haven't told them or they don't get it and you don't tell them when they haven't, how are you going to get there?
Absolutely, yeah.
In a nutshell.
Cool. No, that's good. So, remind me, 7 months did you say your business has been going?
I kicked it off really in September.
Really?
September this year.
Yeah.
Seven weeks. That's what I meant, 7 weeks.
Seven.
Not very long.
It seems so much longer that I've been talking to her on Twitter.
Well, that's, she just popped up.
Yeah, she just popped up out of the blue.
I did just pop up.
You did just pop up.
Yeah, she just popped up. Just a bit like Mike, really. All of a sudden, she was there one day.
Well, I had a wonderful marketing person, so Tabitha Beasley, marketing assistant.
TMA, yeah. Cool.
Yes.
And what a good job she's done.
She has.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's great, yeah.
So, a very new business.
Yes, very new.
It's hard work starting a business, without any shadow of a doubt. Are you enjoying it?
I'm absolutely loving it. I'm having a blast. Can you not tell?
Yeah, absolutely.
So she's absolutely happy and full of joy and excited.
Absolutely. We could talk about this forever.
And now I know
a bit more about your background. You are definitely coming back because I want some stories out of there. Yeah.
Yes.
Rubber gloves, that was.
Rubber gloves.
Yeah, I want that story.
She's got two completely different sets of rubber glove stories as well. She's got the customs and the health service. And there's rubber gloves involved in both of those, let me tell you.
Do you know, I'd never thought about it that way, Paul. Thank you.
Now there's always a theme. Yeah. So, Fiona, give us a shout out for your website, your Twitter handle, how people can find out more about you and get involved in what you're doing.
Okay, Twitter handle, as I've said, I'm fairly prolific on Twitter, is at Fiona Stevens HR, and it's Stevens with a PH. My website, which is mainly just my contact details, is www.hrservicesandsupport.co.uk. Oh, I almost forgot it there. And I'm on LinkedIn as well, Fiona Stevens with a PH, on LinkedIn.
Fantastic.
And you can email me, fiona@hrservicesandsupport.co.uk. And short of putting a blooming satellite on my head, I don't know what else
to make
myself accessible.
Fiona Stevens, MBA.
There is a link on the Campuses Radio website to Fiona's website too, so you can find that, and that will be there forever. For the moment, Fiona Stevens of HR Services and Support, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Amanda, we've got exactly 3 minutes to finish this show,
right,
and we have to do the...
Yes. Channel Radio News Update.
We've got the FSB News Update. We can only get through a couple of these, so I'm going to start with the events schedule. Now, all of these can be booked by going to campusesradio.co.uk to the FSB tab, and there are booking links on all of these. So I'm just going to run through quickly what the events are. On the 7th of December, that's tomorrow, there's the FSB networking at the Secret Pantry in Tenterton, and that's at 6:30 in the evening. So that's tomorrow evening, manana, 7th of December. On the 8th of December, as we've said a couple of times, is Neeze's Dementia Friends at the Innovation Centre at Medway. On the 16th of December is Slope Off Friday. That's lunch and networking with Jules Serkin and Andrew Knott. I think that's fully booked. Are you going, Fiona?
I think that's fully booked.
And then on the 27th of January, I'm running a Skills 30-30 event at the Lee Academy. I'm looking for businesses to join us. It's a free event in which we are talking to A-level students and we do speed networking and talk to students about their hopes and desires for the world of work and as businesses what we want from them. So it's a chance to interact with young people and to network with them and to inform them about what we want from them at the world of work and for them to tell us what they want to do when they leave school. So do join us then on the 27th of January at the Lee Academy over there, fairly near to Dartford.
9 miles.
Yeah.
No, 8.9 miles, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The FSB, record number of SMEs. The number of small businesses in the UK has grown to 5.5 million. The business population estimates show that at the start of 2016, the UK had a million more small businesses, 4,000 more medium-sized businesses, and 900 more large businesses compared to 2010, a total increase of 23%. That's quite amazing. That's fantastic. Mm. You're giving me the really long one to read, haven't you?
Yeah, we'll read a short one.
I'll read the short one. Digital tax reporting reforms enter new phase. The government has closed its consultation on plans to fully digitise taxation in the UK by 2020. FSB has warned about the costly implications for small businesses. We are calling for publication of a full impact assessment detailing the system's costs and benefits, comprehensive user testing, extended consultation, and adequate time for the HRMC to take on board required changes.
Fantastic. There's fresh evidence on quarterly tax reporting burden. A PwC report commissioned by the FSB suggests that government plans for making tax digital should be delayed, with small business exempted from the proposals. The report shows the MTD, the Making Tax Digital, is likely to increase the admin burden and costs for small businesses. The FSB estimated last month that the policy will cost the average small business an extra £2,770 a year on top of their existing tax administration costs. Typical.
Wow. That's a
and we've got time for one more.
I'll just quickly do a bit of this then because it's really important. It's about the Chancellor Philip Hammond's autumn statement 2016. So a couple of key points from it are a national productivity investment fund will provide $23 billion of investment in housing, transport, digital communications and science and innovation by 2021-2022. Further steps have been announced for the allocation of local growth fund, including up to $1.8 billion allocated through a third round of growth deals with local enterprise partnerships, and arrangements for the Northern Powerhouse Investment Fund and Midlands Engine Investment Fund, which will begin making investments in 2017.
Fantastic.
Channel Radio News Update.
That brings us to the end of our news update. Very quickly, I want to tell you about an event, because I did promise to do it, but it's a long way off at the moment, so I will do some more shout-outs for this. But there's a Women Work on the Friday, the 10th of March, at the Assembly Hall Theatre in Tunbridge Wells. It's a full day of inspiration for women and the men who support them from all over Kent, and will be taking place at the Assembly Hall Theatre in Tunbridge Wells, Kent, on the 10th of March. It's an afternoon which is completely full and full of brilliant networking opportunities. Tickets, there's an evening event as well, which tickets cost £5, and all the proceeds of that are being donated to the Pickering Cancer Drop-In Centre. If you want to find out more about the events, if you go to assemblyhalltheatre.co.uk/womenatworkvariety, or their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/womenworkevents, or follow them on the Twitter @womenworkevents.
Perfect.
So do get along to that. And that kind of brings us to the end of the show, really. Coming up on Channel Radio at 5 o'clock, we have Mr. Craig Avery. That is followed by...
Welcome on to the new potato show.
18 tracks of new, unsigned, up-and-coming music with Mr. Jamie Andrews from 7 until 9. And then, as always, on channelradio.co.uk, we finish off the evening at 10 o'clock with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Full drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.